Genesis chapter 11, the Babel chapter, when they built Tower of Babel and God confused them and spread them out, sent them to where they belonged. I like that. Sent them to the country they belonged in and the people they belonged with after their kind. Genesis chapter 11, I titled this message, Let Us Make. Because that's what they said. They said, let us make. Let us build. And boy, they haven't stopped since. First four verses, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. Now heretofore, as far as we know, or as far as we're told in the Word of God, men use God-created materials. Even the skins that God, when God made the skins, made them coats of skins after the original sin. And the building of the temple bears this out. If you go back and study the temple and what and the materials that they use for that. But man to this day is still making his own materials. You know, it's interesting, all the things that God created, they blend so well back into that from whence they came. If you go back and you look at the plains and the houses they built out of wood and stone, they pretty much go with the landscape if there's anything left there at all, you see. Stones and wood, they return very well back to the earth. Steel and bricks do not. They simply do not. If you look at the cities, I look at places like Dubai, are they not, and New York City and all these places, are we not yet building towers that reach unto heaven? We still are. And man keeps making, and he keeps creating, and he keeps building. Many years ago, I've got a message somewhere, I preached on cities and all the things that go with them. Everything there, when you go to a city, pretty much everything's of man. Pretty much everything is man-made, you might say artificial. The lights, they have lights 24 hours a day, man-made. They have asphalt, they have concrete, and they've got steel, and they've got glass, and all sorts of things. And it's all man-made. It said, and they made. And all of these man-made things, this is the interesting part, they're all temporary. They're all temporary. No matter how much time goes by, they're all temporary. You can look at the abandoned factories. Have you ever looked at some the pictures of Detroit, Michigan? The monoliths, I call them the monoliths of failed dreams of man. These old factories, and they're creepy looking. And they're standing there, what are you going to do with them? You know, I grew up with the Astrodome. Matter of fact, I used to go watch the Colt 45s play before the Astrodome was even there. And then they built they call it the eighth wonder of the world, the Astrodome. You know, the Astrodome's still standing. They can't figure out what to do with it. They don't know what to do. They wanted, I think they raised the money. They're supposed to tear it down, but they haven't torn it down, and they don't know what to do with it. And they build these great stadiums, and they, after a few years, what do they want to do? Build another one. And they build another one in a few years. What do they want to do? They want to build another one. We get a new car in a few years. What do we want? Another one. And we build, get a house. What do we want to do? We want to get it, or we want to remodel, or we want to, it's all, it, we got to make. We've got to make, you see. But, you know, it seems to me that the mountains and the seas and the skies and the plains, they seem to be working really, really well. Do you look outside? All that stuff seems to be working pretty good, doesn't it? All those trees, all those God-created things. Man, they just work like a charm. because a perfect God created them. Even our bodies are going to return to the dust from which they came. So I've come to the conclusion, as soon as man says, let us make, you better run. Because it's the outcome is probably not going to be that great. And especially that let us. And I hear that all the time. Let us, you see. There are really more examples in the Bible of this in different manners than we'd have time. You know, Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember what he said? Let us, we got to build some temples. We got to build some churches. That's the first thing they say. Man, my first church, we started getting some people in there. You got to build it. You have to build. You've got to have a building. No, I don't need a building. Heard from Mexico the other day, and they started a work down there in a house, and they get a few people in there. Hey, we got to have a building. Hey, we got what? No, you don't. You see? David. Only two sins were counted to David's account, and he's my favorite Bible person. You know, I relate to David. But he just had to count the people. He just had to take a census. He just had to. The old song, there's an old song, we've got it on tape around here somewhere. If you want to make God laugh, make plans. You ever heard young people? You heard yourself. I heard me. Yeah, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to be this. And how often do you see those things come to pass? They hardly ever. I'd say 80% don't even get close to the goal that they set at some point in their life, you see? If you want to make God laugh, make plans. But we've all got plans. Now, I don't know if you'd believe me or not, but I'm the least planning guy that I know on the earth. I mean, and the people that know me, they'll bear that thing out. Mo will tell you. I don't plan anything. I really, really don't. You remember God told me almost 30 years ago, he spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you this morning. He told me, he said, boy, don't give any thought for tomorrow. Okay? And he said, don't lean to your own understanding. Now, we read those scriptures like we read a lot of scriptures, but I've got news for you. He wasn't suggesting anything to me when he told me that. It was not a suggestion. He was trying to set me free. You see, like me and Jeff speak, sorry, no pushing and pulling allowed. Just get on the wagon and find out where it's going. You see, when Paul got saved, you remember on the road to Damascus, his direction was so clear. He looked at the Lord and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, we should do that every morning. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Not tomorrow. He told me not to give thought for tomorrow. Today. Not what I want to do. Not leaning to my own understanding. And the Lord told him, he said, rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. God's used men to speak to me my whole walk. I'll get a message from a guy that seems so inconsequential and so insignificant. And I go, oh, wow, that was from the Lord. That was meant for me. I don't know if that guy knew it. He probably didn't. But it was for me. Now, that's why we never have another word here. That's exactly why we never have another word here. Because you're not listening. You think you are, but you're not. All these years, no word. I always ask, is there a word? No word. You know why there's no word? You're planning. You're pushing. You're pulling. You're leaning to your own understanding. In essence, let us make. Let us build, you see. And you're not hearing from the Lord. You can't. Because you've got plans. You've got aspirations. And you've got thoughts. You see? You're much too busy to hear from the Lord. Melissa likes that gospel song the fellow sings. He says, but my little hut, I'll just let it be. The Lord Jesus is building a mansion for me. He said, there's folks building homes and they got yards and they got all this. Y'all ever read about all that in the Bible? Man, I got to go home. I got to paint the fence. Man, I got to go. Not ever. Not one time. Not ever. You say, well, God, I don't know what God wants you to live in. I don't know how He wants you to live. That's between you and God. But you just won't let it be. Let us make. Let us build. Let us make. That's Babel. God said that's Babel. And we wonder why we're confounded. And we wonder why we have no word. Because you don't have time for a word. You're making and building and thinking and leaning. It's like the template. Jeff and I always speak of the template. All these churches have a template. A template. I hope you know what that is. I'm not going to go into it. And they print a... I always like when... If I go to a church, if I go visit somewhere, and that church has a bulletin, and you walk in, they give you the bulletin, the order of service, I go, well, God won't be here. They already planned Him out of the deal. You see? All decided. No place for the Holy Ghost. That's why I quit Bible college. There was no place there for the Holy Ghost. They were already all boxed in, and they were making and building and planning. I wonder if there's a place in your life for the Holy Ghost. What would God have you? Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Today. Not tomorrow. Today. Man, what a life Adam had before. The Bible said they saw. She saw. And now we've got closets full of clothes. Lisa's going shopping. She's headed to buy clothes. We've got closets full of clothes. I don't have any more room for shirts. I didn't buy them all. I don't know where they came from. But I mean, I'm old. And I don't throw anything away. You know, I like frayed collars. Got a little character on it. Okay? We've got closets full of clothes and shoes. But that somebody said, they saw, and said, let us make. Oh man, fig leaves. But now it's an endless progression. New phone. Oh, you got to have a new phone. The old one won't work right. Oh wait, you got to have a newer phone. Because the new phone is now passe. Oh wait, you got to have the newest phone. Because the newer phone won't work this way anymore. I'm in marketing. I understand that totally. You got to have the new, latest, greatest, best, biggest, finest, you know. That's the way that the thing goes. Ever notice how religious people, I like this. Religious people, they make their own fruits of the Spirit. They really do. I mean, if you've observed folks as long as I have, they make their own fruit. Boy, how religious they can get. Boy, if I had to do that, I'd be of all men most miserable. Don't do this, and don't do that, and don't go here, and don't go there. And sometimes I just think, how do I get off this merry-go-round? This merry-go-round of life, this endless, and man, I look up, and you know, for years and years, we had long-playing records when I was growing. Had 45s and then the LPs. Had 78s before that. I still have some of those. And round, I always think of that stylus, that needle. And I go, man, hadn't I been here before? Brother Philip, and old Brother Philip Chrismore from the Roloff Homes, and I, you said, man, hadn't we been here before? You know, haven't we been? And we were religious, and we just kept going round and round. Well, let me tell you how you get off the merry-go-round, Christ Jesus. Because what did He say about His yoke? What did He say about His burden? Light and easy. I'm in. Okay, deal me in. I want that, you see. Do you remember? He was a carpenter, right? But you can't name me the first thing you ever built. Not the first thing. So important was it that he was a carpenter that God never listed the first bench, chair, table, anything. Not anything that he ever built. And we spend our whole lives going, oh man, Grandpa made this chair. Big deal. The truth is, I don't care if Grandpa made it or the Chinese made it. I want it to sit this way. When I get in it, I want it to sit this way. I'd rather Grandpa make it, but whatever. He was a carpenter. Boy, that stuff he made must have really been important. Here we are. Let us make. Let us build. But we have no word from the Lord because we're too busy building and making. You see, the truth is we can't be content in whatever state we're in. You know why? Because we made it. We made it of our own accord. We made that state. I'm back in Texas because the Lord told me this is where I'm to be. I'm on Hollis Lane because this is where the Lord told me. It wasn't my choice. We made that state of our own accord. It's our state, you see. But if you'd let God, you'd have to hear from Him. Or you wouldn't know what to do. You wouldn't know where to go. You wouldn't know how to act. You wouldn't know how to dress. You wouldn't know how to speak if you'd let God. They didn't say let God. They said, let us. And we do it every day. Because there'd be no other choice. When He told me to lean not to my own understanding, give no thought for tomorrow, I'm a child of God. I didn't have a choice. It's just like dad or granddad. When they said take out the trash, it was not open for discussion. There was no discussion needed, you see. It's not our knowledge of good and evil. It's the Lord's. Lord, what will Thou have me do? Now, if you'll be honest, if men will be honest, they seldom are, you're probably following a man, not God. I've seen that in lots of religious works. I see it at work. I see it professionally. I see it in life situations. And you end up following a man. And the proof is, you don't know what God would have you to do. And you got where you are, and you do what you do. Now think about it. And you know it's true by man. That's how you got where you are, and that's why you do what you do by man, not God. You claim God, but it's not so. Now, I first wrote, you women have a much easier time because all you've got to do, you're supposed to follow the man. But really, you don't because you got a flawed vessel. I get to follow God directly, and He's perfect. And you women, you get to follow this flawed man. But we just don't follow God. We say we do. But how do I know? Because we don't hear from Him. We don't. There's no way that you can follow God and not have a word. It's an impossibility. You hear me speak almost every week of something that God spoke to me at one time or another that I heard from God on. I'm not special. Well, I'm special in that God elected me. I'm special in that I'm chosen. But I'm not special. God's no respecter of persons. Do you see? You know, if you were on the old path and the good way, you'd know. You'd hear. But you're on your own way. He said, let us make. Well, stop making and listen. Listen for the still, small voice of God. Abraham, he was a friend of God. You know why he was a friend of God? Y'all know? Why?
He did what he told
He believed God. He believed Him. So stop ministering. Brother James had that great message, ministering to the house, and they get. But apply that to your own life, to your own house. Stop ministering to the house and listen and believe God and hear Him. And stop making and stop planning and stop building and listen to God. Because if you don't and you belong to Him, He's going to separate you. Just as sure as the world, He's going to separate you. There's two ways to go with God. You can go like Abraham, you can believe God and get out of Ur of the Chaldees, or you can go like Lot and have an angel drag you out. And he said, remember Lot's wife. Do you see? Folks, this is a good practical message. This is a good practical message. This is something you can do right now. Just as soon as we hang up the phones, as soon as we say amen and we stop this machine, you can do this right now. When he said, lean not to your own understanding and give no thought for the morrow, he was talking to those that believe him. Do you see? So you want a word from God? Stop. Just stop. And then we'll have a word from God. Amen.